Podcast for everything tabletop. My name's Zach, and this week I'm joined by my friends.
Hello.
We got the regular crew. We got Mark, and we got Logan.
Hey.
How you guys doing today?
Good. How are you doing?
Yeah.
Not too shabby.
Shab-less.
We're back in the studio, recording some more games today. Small series we've had going for a little bit is some Blades in the Dark that we're calling Radio in the Dark. So everybody, if you're listening to this in the morning, either make it dark where you are or wait until it is dark.
Or just think close your eyes. Because
just think, yeah.
Where we are in this game, there is never a light. It's dark and steamy. So with that, we're going to kick into Blades in the Dark. As Zach said, think dark things. Woo. Here we go. I'm going to go with the stolen intro from Jared Logan and the Glass Cannon Network one last time since we are still finishing up our last job.
1,000 years ago, there was a land of beauty and magic. Then came the cataclysm which blotted out the sun and ripped open the gates of the land of the dead. The city of Duskfall is a metropolis of refineries and tenements surrounded by crackling lightning towers. Outside the city is a wasteland of ravening undead. Inside the city is a teeming hive of scum and villainy, intrigue and corruption. Life is cheap in a city ruled by death. The sun is gone, and the only thing that shines in Duskfall are the blades in the dark.
Thank you, Glass Cannon, guys. That's just a beautiful intro. I have new variations coming for future games. So, or if we get to a mission later on and we get through this downtime, maybe you'll hear another one. Who knows? We'll see.
Nice.
With that, little quick recap on what was up. Last session, you guys had found a job by talking to a reformed city lawman clerk that had gotten out of Iron Hook Prison and had set himself up in the docks as a kind of a forger. He's trying to get himself on the straight and narrow, it seems like, but he also had a taste for some revenge, as you find out, going to his office in the docks. You meet his lovely bodyguard, who's an absolute asshole. Find out about that later, or earlier, if you have already listened to it. And then we got a job from Holtz Claremont, Holtz being the reformed clerk. Holtz had been kind of sold out by his ex-partner, and his partner held on to some artwork that he really wanted. And so the job was to embarrass his partner and to get the artwork back. His partner was an Eruvian with a taste for the finer things. His name was Hakeem Smith. One of his favorite and most prized possessions were these three pieces of art, which were known by Holtz as the Mother, the Maiden, and the Crone. But Hakeem tried to play it off as something else when confronted. Long story short, the artwork had kind of a mind of its own, and you were able to get Hakeem basically entrapped and in trouble with the law, or what seemed to be the law, as you guys use disguises and other things to kind of, you know, put a little bit of mummery into the situation and become something you weren't, but in a good way. And you got two of the three pieces of art. The third piece had decided to turn itself inside out. Well, inside and out of this, you know, reality. Passing through the ghost field or through some other sort of supernatural, superstitious, crazy sauce. So you had a successful job, and when we left off last time, we paid out your guys' reputation and experience points. I don't remember if anybody got any advancements, but I do remember the crew itself had some advancements. The Sundered Roses has gained quarters and has gained a vault. A vault is very important because you can keep more coin without having it be flopping around everywhere, and quarters allows you to rest in your hideout with, you know, it being kind of like a more secure sort of situation. I am less likely as the narrator to be able to screw with you as you're trying to find some other place to stay for whatever you're doing. So that's good. A little more safety. And a little touch point. Sundered Roses are a group of daring shadows currently living in a watchtower, a lost tower of one of the six towers in the Six Towers District. With that, gents, I will turn it over to you. What would you like to do first, since we still have to get you paid and to burn through some stress and do some downtime things, and also, you know, see if anything comes up from your interactions?
So we have not delivered the paintings yet. Is that correct?
I don't believe so.
Then I think that should be our first priority, don't you?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I believe we have them loaded on a cart.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, it was like a jail cart. Yeah. Jailer's cart. We had, you had an old, no, I had an old, what, bounty hunter friend?
Mm-hmm.
That sounds right.
That we used as an advantage to get those out of here safely and unawares.
As you were leaving the last job, there were more blue coats coming in, and though you know, look like one, they might have been able to spot you, especially if you're carrying random objects out. So stowing those and slipping away was the better idea.
Right.
But we got them safe away and safely back to your hideout. I thought we had said you guys had gotten them off of the cart back to your hideout because, you know, keeping them with whoever the...
Would we even go back to our hideout or would we take them directly to...
That's a good question.
It depends on, like, I guess there are, like, active hours and non-active hours for, like, businesses and such. So it would be logical to say that it's... This is kind of later towards the evening, and maybe his office isn't open.
True.
Yeah, I mean, you guys were also in Brightstone for this job, which is where some of your hunting undergrounds are.
Right.
This wasn't specifically in your guys' block, but still in a better area, which you guys would know. And your contact's in the docks, so it would actually be closer to go straight to the docks than to go all the way to your guys' hideout in Six Towers.
Yes. Right.
Worried about it. Yeah.
Doc's being over here.
Yes.
Yes, cool.
And specifically, your contact. Let's move to the docs here real quick. Yes, we're using the maps you can get through Drive-Thru RPG. There's a whole package of maps that are really well done, very beautiful.
They are very gorgeous.
And here we are, Holtz Claremont office for those playing the home game.
Yes,
we put his office on Worm Eel Way. Have fun finding it. So you come back to
playing
Holtz,
the home game.
I love it. You come back to Holtz Claremont's office, and he's taking up the upper stories of a kind of warehouse. I think it was a warehouse of some form, kind of like a shop or a warehouse down below, and the second floor would be his or one of the rooms there. And just last time, his big intimidating bodyguard is standing outside the door, but as he sees you come up, he kind of squints and glares, but doesn't make any sort of thing about it. As you get within about three steps of him, he turns towards the door into Mr. Claremont's office and opens it for you.
As we walk by, I pat him on the shoulder.
Are you carrying the paintings in right now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Ah, welcome, gentlemen.
Do we, real quick, do we do a little, just a quick little flashback on the walk over?
Sure, yeah.
They're walking down the street here, probably down some alleyways.
Sure.
And Hammer will turn to his buddy,
Flint?
Flint, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Do we
just give him both of these back, or do we keep one for ourselves?
I'm forgiving them to him. Kind of. Based on the third one's action, kind of creeps me out a little bit. I think let's let him handle it.
Yeah, you've got a good point.
Put ourselves up as overachievers a little bit. Why not?
And get us some better favors, I'm sure.
I would hope.
All right. And then whoosh, flashback to walking back into the office there.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
I just want to have that little conversation.
That's fair.
Yeah. Normal rules as if you're doing a flashback in a heist that costs you stress. I was just jumping ahead in the storyline. There's no reason to cause you stress here. Nothing was really gained.
It's just totally fine. Merely narrative at this point. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Totally fine in the situation. It's good. That being said, you guys are carrying both paintings in.
Mm-hmm.
And he greets you. Mm. Oh, gentlemen, you're back sooner than I thought. Well, not quite. Just on time, actually. And he smiles, a greasy smile like he has. What do you have for me?
I assume the paintings are probably covered and wrapped. So we wrapped them in some sort of travel cloth, I think you said. So I assume we each have one. I'll set one up and pull it back and reveal it.
So you reveal one painting?
Right.
And who had fallen through reality and not been joining you was, I believe, the mother. So you have Maiden and the Crone?
The Crone is the one I believe that I was kind of making the contact with. So hopefully that's the one I have. And I will be presenting that one.
Okay. So you're each carrying one. As soon as he sees that there's a second painting, you're revealing the first one, but he's almost caught up. And he's like, you got two. Oh, how very intriguing. Mm-hmm. And you reveal the Crone. And it is non-animate at this time. There's nothing moving about.
Okay.
It hadn't really done anything as you're walking over here either. It just seems like a normal painting, but his eyes light up. And he seems to just look at it fondly, like a lost pet or a lost family member. You reveal the second painting?
After a moment, probably.
Okay.
If he looks up towards us, I'll probably go, all right. And then I'll bring it forward.
Okay. And the second painting revealed as the Maiden. And, each one, not only is it a gray and black and white sort of painting with only a splash of color, but that splash changes depending on what's going on. So before I had said there was a splash of red in each painting, and one was like an apple, another was like a flower, another was like a shawl or something like that.
Like the leaves or something. Yeah, yeah.
At this point, I'm going to say actually it's very subtle. They look like black and white paintings, except for just the small traceries of brown in the tree trunks in both. Behind each is showing a different season, being more towards the fall time period for the Crone and spring for the Maiden. But you can only just barely see that color flicker there. Very subtle. Yes. And I believe it was 4 coin we decided on, yes?
I believe it was, yes.
Very good. Well, thank you. And he digs down into I guess he would pull a key off from his belt and unlock a little drawer and pulls open. It's a heavy drawer. You can hear it the wood grinding as he slides it open and pulls out 1, 2, 3, 4 bags of coins, kind of plopping on the desk each, one after the other, and then slides that drawer closed. And it still sounds like there's some weight to it, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Coin is a general term for just, funds, because this game isn't really all about tracking, every little dollar and penny.
Right. If you listen to us for 7th C, kind of the equivalent of a wealth.
Yes. Yeah. Actually, wealth, that's a great analogy.
Equivalent of a sum of money. Yep.
Yeah, it's almost exactly like that, talking about one coin can gain you X and two coins can gain you Y and whatnot. Same sort of thing as wealth in 7C. For narrative purposes, I kind of think of it as being something like 10,000 coins. A coin is like a stack of money,
Right.
So, that being said, you guys have a bunch of coin there. You can just set those against the wall for me. Take a payment.
Well, we will indeed.
You don't want them hung here?
I'll have my man take care of it.
Very good. Fair enough. I'll set it where instructed.
Cool.
Take a couple of. I'll take a couple of the purses. I'll let Hammer take a couple.
And pick him up both with one hand and kind of tuck it in his belt there.
Okay.
We look forward to doing business with you in the future.
He cracks a wry smile Yes, indeed. You didn't even complain. You brought me back more than I asked for. We had actually settled on a different price. Why did you just go with it? I don't understand.
The importance is friends. We're making connections. If we can be of service to you, and you can be of service to us, that is as much a payment as the coin.
He kind of looks at you with a drawn face, contemplative, you know, he's contemplating, contemplative, wow.
Contemplative?
Yes, that one. Contemplative, that's the word I was looking for. There that was one. The British-ism, mm-hmm. Yes, I can speak, totes. Okay. And he kind of is, his mouth kind of quirks down into more of a frown, and he pulls open that drawer and grabs a bag out and slides the drawer shut and kind of, you know, heaves it in his hand and chucks it at Hammer, since you're the last one to have picked up coin. Looks like another coin worth. You guys have gained 5. As he says, yes, useful to each other, but I don't like being indebted. I'm sure we'll have ways of helping each other out down the road, and I will certainly call upon you, but we must keep it mutually beneficial.
I agree.
Good day, gentlemen.
Good day to you, sir.
Okay. We don't have to play out walking across the city unless there is something you wanted to do on the way. You've gotten paid. You have 5 coin, which mm-hmm. I'm going to go put on your guys' crew sheet. 5 coin is just enough to fill up your vault, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
You're up to 8 in the vault. When you get enough reputation to up your tier, you're going to have to spend 8 times the tier you're going to upgrade that direction. When you get to enough rep here, which you're not quite halfway, basically when your rep bar is filled up, you can spend 8 coin and go from the tier 0 strong to a tier 1 weak. Moving from weak to strong doesn't take any sort of coin, but moving up tiers does. So it's important to have coin around for that event.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, this also gains you the informants opening. So you have the ability to gain +1 die on gather info for certain scores because of informants, because of this connection you have here.
Great. Wonderful.
Okay.
Sounds like just what we need.
Heck, yeah.
Almost like we talked for quite a long time to figure out what we wanted to
do. Listen, purely this organic game is metagaming in the best way possible. Like, come on. That's
it
what
is, and it's so fun.
Yeah, it's true.
Okay, so what I have is we've gotten the payout. We still have downtime and complications to figure out.
Okay.
And it's also free play. So if there's like, you know, scenes or things you want to establish or you know, conversations you want to have, that's totally good. But I would, if you guys don't have something right now, I want each of you to do a downtime action, and then we'll probably do our complications, see if we get a complication, and then we'll do the last downtime action.
Yes.
Fair enough.
So for downtime, you can either look at my quick references in the journal, or you can look at the compendium for downtime.
Page 153 for those of you using the book.
Correct. Mm-hmm. So we're now just looking at downtime. You can you have 2 downtime actions, and we're going to do these one at a time. So you can spend a downtime action to acquire an asset, like there's a certain, you know, item or device or something like that you want to get. You can start a long-term project, like you want to invent something or you want to research something or, you know, do something, anything that would take some time.
Mm-hmm.
Recover for any damage you have. Which I'm not sure if either of you are wounded. I think you both come through pretty shiny, actually.
I think we're both just stress only right now.
Yeah, yep. Dope.
We might be doing indulging some vices.
Indeed. Indulge a vice is probably one of the most common things done on downtime. You indulge a vice to reduce your stress, or, you know, indulge it too much and overindulge and have a problem.
Fair.
You can spend an action to reduce heat to make you guys less notorious in a bad way. Or you can spend a downtime action to train, to literally give yourself an experience point in a category.
Ooh. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I'm also reading, you can take additional activities from the list for 1 coin or 1 rep.
Yes, yes. You can spend a rep, basically like pulling on strings, okay, to get a third downtime action. You can spend a coin, do the same thing. I don't think there's a limit on how many you could do in time, because downtime isn't like a set like number of days. It's just time between
jobs. Just you're taking downtime. Yeah, no, it's like nothing's happening yet. I get you.
Yes.
Okay.
Who has an idea for their first one?
Go ahead. You got ideas?
First off, I'm pushing 6 stress right now. Woo! So I think it's time to do a little bit of dice games.
Yeah. All right. And you have dice games where? Where's your vice purveyor?
Crow's Foot. Spog's Dice Game.
Aha. So in Crow's Foot is, if you've looked at the main book, it's kind of where their starter heist has people going. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of criminal activity in Crow's Foot. It's a 4 on a 4-point rating of possible criminal stuff, but it's also a fairly rundown district, 2 on richness and 2 on police activity. So yeah, so it's decently patrolled for how run down it is, but yeah, the gangs run this area for sure.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So you head down to Crow's Foot, you find yourself a dice game. What is your dice game of choice? Yes, make it up. It's totally fine. We don't know what the dice games are in this world.
Oh, there's a fairly popular one. Some people don't know about it, but they call it Crazy Sixes.
Crazy Sixes. Okay. New one? Kind of like a growing popularity?
New upcoming. Okay. Yeah. But, it's fairly popular because the rules are easy and you get a lot of low level payouts, but it's fun to just jump back in and keep getting these little low level payouts because you roll 6.
Heck yeah. You come into this dice den and greeting you are the usual bouncers, and they just nod and let you in. They're used to seeing you here. And as you walk in, Bog himself is standing behind the bar making up some drinks. He's not the bartender. He just floats around. Sometimes he's bartending. Sometimes he's, running a game. Sometimes he's just hanging out with people. And Bog, as usual, has his big fat stogie in his mouth. It seems to be the same one. You're not sure if it's burning or not, or if he's just chewing on it, and it's just always there. Bog himself is a wide and rotund man with a laugh that echoes across the entire very loud gambling den. And he looks and he turns, yeah, come on in, more the merrier. And yeah.
How you doing, old friend?
Let's get a roll here for your indulge the vice. So wonderful. For indulging vice, there's actually a button on your character sheet to do such.
Okay.
You're generally rolling your worst skill for indulging a vice. Hmm. Meaning, in this situation, we're looking at the dots on the left side of the line under inside prowess or resolve. Mm-hmm. So you are rolling resolve.
Resolve. Yep. Wonderful. It's not good for me, but
that's how it goes.
No bonus dice.
Nope.
A 4.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Cool.
I don't know what I'm going for, so I'm just rolling a die.
So, yeah. So, this is a literal numbers situation. You have burned off 4 of your 6 stress by indulging your vice in this downtime. So, you're just down to 2 stress, which is a good place to be. If you wanted to spend your second downtime action, that would be more risky, because if you roll the reduction of stress over your current stress amount, you do what's called overindulging. And that's where real bad stuff happens.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to push my luck on that.
I wouldn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's just going to roll a couple dice, get some
yeah,
some stress off.
It's a good night, pretty average. No major issues, only a couple small bar fights here in this gambling area, which quickly get cleared out because that gets in the way of business. It's just a, good rough and tumble sort of place.
And, just because it's me and I need to, I'm going to just for some Foley.
Yeah. Dice Foley up in this biz. Okay. Well, that's your first downtime action. Now we'll move over to...
I'll pass it over here to my buddy Flint.
Mr. Flint. Okay.
Well, I am going to start by doing some training.
Ooh.
So I am going to mark 1 XP on one of my attributes. And because we are shadows, we have training bonus to prowess.
Correct.
So that will actually give me two checks in prowess, if I understand.
Yep. If you train prowess, yes. Okay. You get two that checks for that training time period. So what is it that you're training in, or what is this training montage we see? How do you work on this?
This is, you know what? This is probably some kind of physical training, just kind of a montage of some, like, you know, maybe doing some dexterity things with my fingers, you know, doing the rolling the coins through, practicing some sleight of hand, perhaps.
Sure. Heavy on that finesse. I like it.
Yeah, yeah. Probably a little bit of, you know, physical exercise too, to keep the, you know, to keep limber and that sort of thing. But more dexterous type stuff than the power training, the, you know,
sure
type stuff.
Yeah, so, Milos, yeah. Flint, as he goes by, is a spider, and so those more subtle movements really fit.
Mm-hmm.
And are you going to anyone for training, or are you just spending time practicing training?
I think I'm just going to do it on my own. Yep. I'm just doing some, you know, some of the exercises I've learned over the years, some things that just feel good and seem to work for me.
Yeah, love it. Kind of dusting off, you know, the old tricks. It's good stuff.
Yes.
Okay, that is your first downtime activity. Good stuff. Now we're going to deal with entanglements, or complications, as it were. These are basically stuff that happens because your reputation is growing or your infamy is growing. And entanglements go up as your wanted level go up, or more like they're more likely to happen as your wanted level goes up. So if we look at the crew sheet, you guys are currently not wanted. You only have 4 heat. So in this situation, much like your other die rolls, it's like having no skills in a roll. We're going to roll 2 dice and keep the lesser one, which is probably a better way to go. Let me find the entanglement.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So you guys have currently 4 to 5 heat is the range we're in. And we're going to roll 2 dice and choose the lesser one. The only die roll that I, as the DM, make is the fortune roll. So somebody here can roll me a skill. Basically, just click on a skill on your sheet that has no ranks in it. And then the position and effects don't matter in this situation. We're just getting the die roll.
No point in it. It doesn't matter. We're just getting the die roll. Yep. So, okay.
A 3 or a 3? How would you like a 3?
Ooh. How about a 3?
Okay, so
I'll take the 3.
We have either gang trouble or questioning. So for this situation here, gang trouble, a gang or cohort causes trouble. You can either lose rep equal to tier plus 1, make an example of one of the gang members, or face reprisals. You don't really have a cohort that works under you, so that one's not going to work in this situation. So we are defaulted to questioning. Blue coats, round up an NPC crew member, or contact of your guys' gang, and they're going to question you. Who do you think, who do the blue coats think is most vulnerable?
The noble, because this all, you know, went down in at a noble party.
Adelaide Freud, I think you used her for some pre-heist
information,
yeah.
Yeah, I think she gave some information about our target, Hakeem Smith. So
okay,
well, I'm thinking she might be the most dramatic to have some. Does that make sense?
Sure, we want to do her.
That makes sense.
Then I'm gonna say Milos. You find out as you are getting done with your training at some point in time that one of the attendants that you've seen in Adelaide's house comes by, like he's delivering a message, but he's a little bit shooken up. He's like, "Can we talk inside?"
Yes, please.
We have a shot of you just finishing up with whatever, you know, you were doing as far as training, maybe covering something over on a table or stuffing something back in your pocket. And you know, let this gentleman in, and he says, "Adelaide's been taken by the blue coats. Can you help?"
Oh,
and this is a way of asking how you guys want to deal with this. You can do one of two things. You can either make a fortune roll, basically trying to bet on her ability to resist. And if it's a 1 to 3, you'll gain 2 heat. If it's a 4 to 5, you'll gain 1 heat. And if it's a 6, you'll gain no heat, and Adelaide is, it doesn't reveal anything. Or you can pay 2 coin to pay off the blue coats.
I mean, we have coin, but
we do. Yeah, I mean, we pay 2. We still came out 3 coin ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Right. 3 coin more than we didn't have before.
yeah. Worst case scenario is we take 2 additional heat, which is getting us up there a little bit.
A little bit. But I still have a downtime action.
I would also say, think about the effect action upon your contact.
Mm-hmm. That is absolutely fair, too. Yeah, if you feel good about... well, how does this play out narratively for you, Logan? If we go with the fortune roll and you use your second downtime action to reduce heat.
Reduce heat.
Could that be played out in a way that would narratively reduce heat in a way that eases up her stress? Or are those two separate?
I would be curious on how you're reducing heat to make that happen. That I think is where the question would come in, because
well, I think
good.
Yeah, reduce heat, it would mean basically kind of shifting the blame somehow. So if we're doing that kind of preemptively to her questioning to kind of overlap with it, would that help her get released sooner? Specifically, how are we shifting the blame?
Well, and this is the thing too, when you're reducing heat, you can use any skill, but that also changes how you're reducing heat. So if you're going around and you're commanding to reduce heat, you're basically like yelling at people and telling them like, you know, keep your fucking teeth together, you know, snitches get stitches. As opposed to, you know, consorting with someone, helping to convince them of something else, or swaying them, or even, you know, doing something like a study or a hunt where you're trying to, you know, basically like, for lack of a better example, visually, the Assassin's Creed removing wanted posters, sort of a situation where you're like reducing the heat physically, like ripping off, like, nope, we're not wanted.
Yeah.
You know, so if you can think of a way to reduce heat that would also help your relationship with Adelaide or help her.
That's maybe reduce that's kind of what I was thinking, going with a hunt or a survey or a something like that.
How's your prowl?
One dot.
Okay. So what I was thinking is, you know, maybe going sneaking in and planting evidence or something along those lines.
Mm.
What, you know, do you have any thoughts on how you might do that?
I would probably go the route of probably use hunt in having help with big beastie animal companion, distracting someone or something to get in, and that could be a way of getting in to plant some evidence using hunt that way.
Yeah, I could see that.
It could honestly go any way, I think, though.
Yeah, it's mostly about narrative here, but
yeah.
So
then if that's what you would like to do for your next downtime, and you're going to base this encounter on the fortune roll from Adelaide.
Mm-hmm.
Then we're going to roll her fortune, which one of you all could roll a fortune, and we'll see how bad it is for her. And then that will tell you how good you need your heat reduction to be to help also not have a lessening on the relationship with Adelaide. Yes.
And how do you feel about that? Or should we just go with the coin?
Are you asking me or Zach? Because I'm
Zach. Okay. Zach specifically. Yeah.
Because
I have no problem just going with the coin and let's keep this
kind of same. I don't have many ideas.
Yeah. Okay. Let's just do the coin. I'll give the coin to the to the servant, and say, you know, take this to the blue coats and secure Adelaide's release. I'm assuming there's a procedure for blue coat bribery in this town.
Yeah, and you would probably be better at doing that yourself, but you're trusting it to her aid. Oh, interesting.
Well, I was... yeah, my... Actually, no, you know what? I will compose a letter.
Okay.
With the instructions. But yeah, just to keep us... keep that buffer out of it, but a letter with the instructions to release her. Here's the payment.
Okay, fair enough, fair enough. I am curious as to how loyal this dude is. You recognized him, but how should I screw thee? go ahead and make me a fortune roll, but with an extra die.
Okay.
As a kind of disposition roll for this dude. And middle ground, he'll go pretty much as you expect. If he goes south on your roll, then he's probably going to screw you over, or at least partially screw you over. If it's, you know, a six or a critical, then it's better than you expect. And you're going to gain, a little more rep with this situation.
All right.
Roll two.
I thought I did.
That just came up with a one.
Oh, because you can roll zero. Sorry. Did it. Okay.
Okay, cool. Not a crit. Still good. So this is a six, and he's blown away by this, and he's like, sir, Mrs. never lets me carry this much money. I won't do you wrong. We'll get her free. She'll know of your great deeds.
I appreciate it. Good work.
Thank you, sir. And he scuttles off, and you find out, you know, in a day or so that not only did she get rescued by your payoff, but she didn't even get interrogated, really, by the time the money had gotten there. And nice. So there's an understanding that not only is she willing to be a contact for you and kind of tell you what she can, but that you kind of have her back.
Nice. Good.
So I'm gonna put that on your crew sheet under her information of
wonderful
enhanced trust on the notes, and then I will reduce your coin by two.
Excellent.
Okay, so that is the entanglements for now, and then we have our last two downtimes. We'd
like to go first. Speaking of rolling the dice, I think I am actually gonna go for. Some stress relief.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I am going to head over to Silk Shore, where I will meet up at Madame Tesselin's and ingratiate myself with the services there.
Over here at Silk Shore, Madame Tesselin's is one of the more well-known, I would say, red light district locations. Silk Shore is a place known for its red light districts, as well as its artists' living quarters, depending on where you're going. You're kind of going in the more northern area here. I don't remember exactly where her shop is supposed to be, but we can figure that out when it becomes valuable. I think the camera just follows you as you walk in past a glowing set of red lanterns into a very nice and gilded doorway. This is one of the few brothels that doesn't have any bouncers outside, because people do not screw with Madame Tesselin.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know they're around, but that's just a little too distracting for the relief and pleasure that her clients are seeking. And so it is a classic silk pillows and nice coverings and beautiful artwork and, you know, topless women running around and all of that sort of brothel-y sort of situation. As you walk in, the main reception area has someone who is nicely clothed. You're not sure he or her, doesn't really matter. As they greet you, oh yes, good to see you again, sir. And you hear in one direction some giggles and some laughs, and you hear in another direction some like maybe like a card game or something going on, and it just seems to be a house of pleasure, whatever you're looking for. Do you want me to make the arrangements for you, or do you want to talk to the madame first?
Well, is the madame available? Always.
Of course, sir.
Say hello when I'm in town.
Yeah. One moment. Scurries away and comes back, and Since you chose Madame Teslin and you've kind of played this game before, give us some flavor on who does Madame Teslin look like? What is she like?
Well, specifically, she helped hide Milos when things went bad with his family. So they have a bit of a history. She's older, not too old, but a little bit
past her working years.
closer to middle age than than not. But you know, still has a lot of experience with how she dresses and presents herself. So she's still, you know, finely dressed and well presented, and energetic. She still has an energy that's a little bit beyond, you know, for someone her age. She has a nice energy that she presents to clientele and especially friends.
But amber is not the color of her energy.
Correct. So yeah, that's what I'm envisioning.
Perfect, perfect. Yes, Madame Teslin comes in with a spring in her step and a dancer's grace, kind of floating into the room. A lovely silk brocade nightgown with a wrap around her shoulders, revealing just enough artful shoulder to enchance and intrigue. My boy, so good to see you again. Comes over, madame. Hands on the shoulder, kiss on the cheek.
Ah, madame, it's like coming home. It's always... Such a nice welcome. Thank you so much.
Indeed, indeed. I see you look a little, looks like the pressures of work have worn on you. Come this way. Huh. She, you know, puts an arm through your arm and, you walk off towards another room and we can fade there where some sort of indulgence is happening. Yes. Let's go ahead and roll that stress. You are currently at 5 stress and
we can roll that indulge. I'm taking a risk here.
A little bit of a risk.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, no!
Oh, oh no!
Yes. The so there's a 6 that have. Is rolled, which means we get to see the overindulgence mechanics. Isn't that fun?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, when you overindulge, you enjoy your stress relief a little too much. And we try and tailor this based on what it is that you're doing and kind of your character. So overindulge can either attract trouble, cause you to brag, which increases your heat, make you lost for some time, which means this character is gone for a little while, basically for our next heist, or make your current vice purveyor tapped out and cuts you off. I don't think the tapped fits here because of the background and story with Madame Teslin. I don't know how loose your tongue is, whether you're likely to brag at the wrong time and somebody overhears you. So I'm leaning towards probably either attract trouble or lost.
You know, I'm thinking attract trouble might, running into a spy here could very easily fit.
Ah, run into a spy here with your spy character. Got it.
Essentially, yeah.
I love it. So select.
No, Mark, that's Mark. No, that's not Mark.
That's not Mark. So you attract trouble, select/roll an additional entanglement. So let's find out what sort of trouble you run into here. And I like the idea you brought up with the spy. I do want to roll it, but if it doesn't seem like it fits at all, we'll go back to the spy thing or incorporate it into the spy situation.
Yeah. Exactly.
So go ahead, and you guys are still at 4 heat.
Mm-hmm.
So you got a couple options there. Go ahead and roll me another 2d6, taking the lower.
Okay.
So a no-skill skill would be an easy way to do that.
Got it.
All right. A 3 and a 2. Yeah. Okay. So what happens here is this is basically the same result you guys had last time. It's either gang trouble with one of your cohorts or gang members, or you are brought in for questioning of some form. Blue coats usually round up an NPC crew member or contact for questioning. Yeah. So we see in the narrative here, this kind of a sounds of enjoyment. Enter here, HBO, something, in the background. As we see, we focus in on this young man who is, you know, peering through a curtain or peering through a hole in a wall, watching things that are going on. and then kind of turning so he can hear better and goes back to watching. And then we see him turn back to listen, and he hears something, and he kind of squints his eyes to try and listen a little more. And his eyes kind of perk up, and he overheard something that, you know, maybe he heard about, you know, these lost paintings or this something about this job you guys had recently done. And the kid runs away, runs off, gets out of there. And next we see, as Flint is walking away from Madame Tussland's the next day or whenever, a couple of blue coats kind of pour into her establishment. And Madame Tussland is not one to be trifled with. She does not like having people incur on her ground and mess with her business. But blue coats are kind of outside of that, being that they are the ones upholding the law. And so we see, you know, basically a raid squad of like five or six of them come in and start to try and like rough up some of her workers and try and ask some questions and push people around until she finally is like, enough. You want to talk to someone, you can talk to me. And we have another interrogation situation with Madame Tussland. This here, I'm not going to worry about her relationship with you. Again, I'm protecting that here in the situation. I'd kind of be like double dipping on an overindulgence. You can, again, either bet on her fortune roll and either get some heat, a little bit of heat or no heat, or you can pay 2 coin.
Would I have seen the blue coats heading there?
No. I think I'd said as you had walked away from there, they snuck in after you had left.
Okay.
Actually, that's a good question. No, I like this better. What is your survey or study rank? Survey would be better.
I have one point in study, nothing in survey.
Nothing in survey. Okay. All right. Yeah, let's go ahead and roll either of those, and we'll see if that gets you anything. You're not going to get any negative for it. We're just seeing how much it gets you as far as what you notice.
Position doesn't really matter.
Doesn't matter.
This,
no. Hey, all right. You are successful, so you can notice if you want to. There's just a minor complication with it, as I would say the complication in this situation is they are already in place. The things we've established as far as Laura has already happened. You couldn't intercept them. It's more like you see like one of them slip past when they thought they were being sneaky, and fair. You turn to follow where they're going, and you already see three or four piling in. You know, sort of thing.
I will actually turn around and follow them. I won't be able to catch up to them, but I will.
Okay.
I will get there, but I will return to the house as they've already kind of started going about their business.
Okay.
I'll go up to one of the blue coats and say, "Who's in charge here?"
And we see this guy with a beard, you know, is who you walked up to, and he looks a little bit older, but he says, "Who's asking?"
I will pull out my personal 2 coin and say, and kind of give him a jingle and say, "These are asking." He's going to, I'm sure, he'll want to speak to me.
Are you trying to use these just as an opportunity to speak with this guy, or are you trying to use this as a payoff?
As a payoff, yep.
Okay.
I will pay him off.
Captain Mac, come here. And you see this guy with this like waxed handlebar curling mustache, 3 curls in, you know, sticks out another 2 inches on either side of his face, huge, compensating for something mustache. Come over towards you.
Oh, I've met this guy.
Yeah, okay, cool. And he kind of gives a little like, you know, one-handed sort of spread to the front of his mustache as he comes over, looks to your hand, looks up to you. I see you're trying to go for bribery. You know that is punishable in this law. But he keeps looking back to your hand and back to your face.
Sir, I'm sure you understand what a wonderful service that this establishment provides for so many in this town. So many in this town have so little to look forward. I'm sure that we don't want to create an atmosphere here that's uncomfortable for anyone. And yes, I'll hand over the 2 coin and say, I just hope that we can find other places for you to do the great job and great work that you do.
Yeah, okay. He As you start to hand over the coin, you've never seen two bags of money slip away this fast. somehow one down his sleeve and the other under his jacket, and he continues to comb his mustache out. I see your point. Boys, we got something else to do. And he pulls out a pipe as he starts to walk out and starts to knock out some dust and some old charred bits of tobacco and starts to load it. And he is slowly walking out, knocking out his pipe here in Madame Tussland's, and kind of showing that like, I'm above whatever you're going to say. I'm above the law. And all of his guys pile out of there. And he's the last one out, and he kind of says over his shoulder as he turns, lighting his pipe, be seeing you, son.
Have a good day.
Might have remembered your face. Who knows? We'll see. But you mark off two more coins from your own personal stash.
Yep.
Yeah. The pains of overindulgence. Man, that's an expensive thing. You've got your one coin ahead now. One coin from that job.
One coin.
Okay. And final downtime activity. We'll pop over to Hammer.
I'll make this somewhat short and simple.
Sorry. One quick question here.
Yeah.
Then
that does
not reduce my stress. Then correct?
No, it does. Whenever you overindulge, it still reduces it. But it's okay. Something horrible also happens.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So yeah, I don't I think this game would function if you could somehow mess up a vice roll and not recover anything.
Gotcha.
Yeah. That just seems that would be cruel to another level.
Okay. So I'm gonna keep this fairly short and simple here. I'm gonna do a bit of training.
Ooh. Okay.
Nice.
What I'm envisioning is Hammer is going to make his way back to whatever bar/tavern that he had met the Skovlanders at.
Yeah.
And all in all, I'm kind of wanting to focus on a bit of resolve training in kind of in the ways of consort. I know it doesn't specifically go to consort, but just for flavor.
Exactly. That makes sense.
And kind of, you know, consort with connections from your heritage, backgrounds, friends, etc. So maybe just doing a little bit of that, making a little bit of friends with some local Scovies.
Okay.
Yeah, and do a little bit of training.
Yeah, you.
I guess in the less training and more kind of making those connections with.
Are you having a train-versation?
His people.
Convert training?
Yeah, kind of. Convert training. Absolutely.
Okay, so yeah, you find this old bar, and you find you're kind of middle of the day when you head back there. Hard to tell because it's always dark.
Right.
But there's still always someone there, and. Always someone of the Skovlander resistance there, which most people would not know, but you come from that heritage and you fought in the war. And so you know some of the attitudes, how much the Skovlanders do not care for the Akarosi or the Empire, but are now part of it. And on that same note, how Akarosi seem to look down on Skovlanders. And so you show up back there and start making friends and communicating and chatting. And you can mark an XP, just a single one, because you guys don't have resolve training as a thing yet, as your gang, in your XP tracker for resolve.
Perfect.
Apparently, also, too, if you really wanted to, you can shift playbook advancement XP over to one of the other trainings, or vice versa. So if you guys wanted to do a little shuffle real quick, if you're real close on one or the other, and you want to move a couple XP around, that is legal by the rules.
We'll just keep things where they are.
Okay. Mark, does Flint need to move anything around?
Nope, I don't think so.
Okay, perfect. Well, I think, unless you have any other open play things you guys want to do, we can probably call it there for this downtime and for this episode, and then come back for our next episode, which would be our next job, or finding our next job.
Sounds great.
Absolutely.
All right.
Wonderful.
Well, keep safe out there. Keep behind your lightning barriers. And remember, if a friend dies, tell the spirit wardens immediately.
You better tell them. We don't need any of that shit popping up.
True.
Logan, thanks for running us through this game. I'm looking forward to the next one here. And Are we playing yet? Are we playing again yet? Is it time? Are we playing? Or do we get to play more of this?